Okay, just while we're waiting for some of the parents to come back in, I wondered if anyone had got a good experience of waiting for something that they might like to share with us this morning. Okay, first one here.
I had to wait to go to an Ed Sheeran concert.
How long did you have to wait?
6 months.
How long did it feel like?
Ages.
Okay, so waiting to go to a favourite concert. Sometimes waiting for something like that's really nice though, because it's something to look forward to, isn't it? Anyone else got an experience of waiting they'd like to share?
9 months for the baby to be born.
9 months for the baby to be born, yes. Quite an exciting time sometimes, but quite a scary time too. Okay, anyone else? Someone over here?
Waiting to eat my sweet corn that I've only just planted.
How long does sweet corn take to grow? I've got no idea.
You know, a few months. You're waiting for harvest, aren't you, in the autumn?
True. Anyone else? Someone over here? Oh. Waiting for your dog. How long did you wait? Is this to get a dog?
Yes.
How long?
10 years.
10 years. Was this a when you're a certain age promise you will get a dog type thing? Okay. Are you looking after it? Good, good. Anyone else? Oh, right over there, Jeff.
I've been with Amanda for 18 years. I think at least 10 of them have spent waiting at the bottom of the stairs for her to finish getting ready.
I was on a quiz programme on TV and we had to wait and not tell anyone what had happened until it had been broadcast. And that was both frustrating and fun because we managed to make everyone believe that we hadn't won. And then when they all watched it, they all started texting us and saying, "Oh, you won! You're so amazing."
So we're kind of waiting to keep a secret, if you like. That's a good one. Thank you.
Amanda and I were going to see the play Network in London, and they had tables on the stage for meals during the show. Bryan Cranston was in it, so we booked this table, and we knew that our friends were going on the same night, and we didn't tell them that we were going. And so we had to wait ages for the look of shock as they looked up on the stage and saw us eating our dinner on the stage in front of Bryan Cranston.
Okay, so some good examples of surprise for others.
4 years for the World Cup to start, it's finally here. Hooray!
And how long do we have to wait for it to finish? Won't be long. Okay, thank you for sharing some ideas there. Jeff is going to come and give us our reading for this morning, which is from James chapter 5.
Sorry. Right. So the first reading this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Patience and prayer. Be patient then, my brothers and sisters, until the Lord comes. See how patient a farmer is as he waits for his land to produce precious crops. He waits patiently for the autumn and spring rains. You also must be patient. Keep your hopes high, for the day of the Lord's coming is near. Do not complain against one another, my brothers and sisters, so that God will not judge you. The judge is near, ready to appear.
Okay. So, good things come to those who wait. That's what we've been talking about today. Good things came to Mr. B. He maybe didn't do his waiting, but he got where he wanted to be. Now, in this series on James, we've been looking at general advice on how to live our lives and how to act to others, how to speak from last month, and how the actions of our words can affect others and ourselves. Today, we're going to think about the gift of patience and what it means to wait. As Lou showed in her activity, waiting is something that increasingly we have to do less and less. Much more of our life is immediate, with various gadgets to help us save time, but also increasingly busier lives. My first question, as I was uncovering this and thinking about the passage over the last fortnight, that I came across was the question, do you live a hurried life. How many of us today live a life that is just skimming along? Are we rushed? Are we distracted? Are we preoccupied? Do we rush from one activity to another? Are we constantly looking for time-saving ideas that might help us get from A to B or to get a job done quicker? So, a couple of examples to think about. Here's my first one. Okay, so, a supermarket queue. Anyone got any particular tactics that they might use in the supermarket?
Using the self-scan.
Using the self-scan, yep. Some new technology to help us to maybe do it quicker.
Home delivery.
Home delivery. So not even go and join the queue in the first place. So, we have got some tactics that we could use. My friend when I was talking to her about this talk, she said she started off just making sure she'd join the shortest queue. But now she's decided she has to look at who's in the queue. What's in their trolley? Are they likely to pack their bags quickly? Then she has a look at the cashier. Do they look speedy? Do I want to join their queue? The other thing she's also admitted is that sometimes she'll keep an eye on the other queue, mentally remembering where she would have been if she had joined that queue instead, and invariably ending up feeling a bit upset if that queue got there quicker. Okay, next one. Two lanes at the traffic lights. Anyone got a particular tactic here? Do you always go on the left? Do you always go on the right? I think these are just a couple of examples of everyday parts of our life where we maybe forget that we're constantly maybe trying to save seconds in every minute. Now, part of my preparation for this, I read John Ortberg's book called The Life You Always Wanted, and it's got a chapter about this, and he gives some examples of what hurry, or always being in a hurry, might mean in our day-to-day lives. And he talks about the problem that we may have these days, because we're so used to everything being immediate, of what he calls hurry sick. And he said the hurry sick have got certain issues. They multitask and they don't do things as well as if they did them separately. They have a lot of clutter in their life. There's never time to get rid of things, to sort things out, to move on, because they're always busy doing the next thing. They give their loved ones what he called the sunset slot, the bit at the end of the day where you've rushed around all day and you've rushed from one thing to another in a hurry and you haven't really got the time or energy at the end. And he said also, they often have lots of information, but they maybe haven't thought about it. And maybe, therefore, they've got less wisdom. Now, if we're thinking about this concept of hurry, and we're thinking about not having to wait, and maybe not being as patient, because, like Lou said, we're not practicing using those patient muscles, how can this Bible passage from James help us today with this problem of constant hurrying, of being hurry sick, and maybe not being patient or not wanting to wait? Well, the first thing this passage tells us is, he says, we need to be patient on God. In verse 7, James wrote the following, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains." Now, as I prepared this talk, I thought that I was possibly the most inappropriate person for doing this. I've got three small children, I work, I'm constantly planning how to fit everything in. But actually, this verse says it's okay to be busy. The farmer is being patient, but he is working while he is waiting for his crop to grow. He's tending the plants, he's weeding, he's watering. Just like the farmer, we need to be busy for God, but not in a hurried way that makes us stressed or makes us not able to do the things we're doing properly. Just like the farmer, we need to be busy doing some of the tedious jobs, and we need to do them patiently. The farmer doesn't get a good crop through not looking after it or not putting the work in, and the same is true in our lives too. Think of all the sports people who've patiently trained and practiced and waited to become really good at their sport. Think of the student who's been plugging away for 2 years or more to give themselves the best chance to do well in their exams. It doesn't come overnight. But being patient does not mean doing nothing. In fact, often it's the opposite. The second part of this reading is that James tells us we need to be ready for God. Although God tells us to be patient, the passage says, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." James knew that Jesus was coming back, and he knew that he would come back and set everything right in our world. But he didn't know when it would happen. What James did know in this passage was that we should be prepared for it. Jesus said he was going to come back, but that was 2,000 years ago. If we can say anything about God's plan, it's that he's in not a hurry. We should be patient, and yet we need to be ready. So like the farmer is working patiently, we need to be doing God's work patiently, because we don't know when God is going to return. God wants us not to just sit at home. He wants us to be working out our faith in our daily lives. Now is the time to show others about our faith, to be supporting missions and other people in their work. When Jesus returns, will he find us here at Central Baptist Church ready for him? My last point is that if we're going to be patient and we're going to make sure we're ready, is there anything else we should be doing? Well, the last few all-age services have talked about living out our faith. The whole passage of James that we've been looking at, he might as well be saying, if you believe in Jesus, you need to show it. And in this last verse from our reading today, he says, do not grumble against one another. He's saying the judge is standing at the door. God is right there, but we mustn't fight amongst ourselves. Our last service was about thinking about what we say before we say it. And James is repeating this here. God is just there, ready to come back in his own time. We meanwhile need to not argue amongst ourselves, but act out our faith within our church and our lives. We need to be steadfast in our faith, and we need to show it to others as much as we can. So, in summing up what James has said, he said we need to live an unhurried life. We need to be patient. We need to wait for God by being active and living out God's plan. And we need to make sure that we are ready. We don't know when God is going to come again, but we need to make sure that we're ready when he does. Now, I was thinking, what does this actually look like on a day-to-day basis? This idea of being patient and being ready is all well and good, but when we leave here today, we'll go out and get on with our normal lives. So, I want to leave you with some little suggestions of just things that you could do this week to slow down a little. Make a really conscious effort not to drive too fast. Eat your food slowly, just for one meal. Join the longest queue in the supermarket. Set aside some time after work or school to spend time with a particular member of your family. Or maybe spend half an hour on quiet time with no technology near you. Some of us might find that easier than others. God doesn't want us to sit around waiting, doing nothing. He wants us to be busy, but doing his work in an unhurried and unstressed way. And that's how we're going to be best able to live out James's advice in terms of living our faith and showing it to others. Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your advice, given so many years ago, but yet still so applicable to our lives today. Help us have a think about how we show others our love for you during this coming week. Amen.